Delighted to welcome onto the program author of her latest book, Hashtag Love, Trish Murphy. Hi, Trish.
Hiya, Greg. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Learning how to make relationships work in the 21st century is the subtitle. And obviously, you've put it on the book for a reason. Is it more difficult to make love work now, or do we just have to work differently to make it work?
I suppose it's slightly both, really. I think the internet has played a big part in how we get into love relationships, and often it plays quite a part in how we end up breaking up in love relationships. So in that sense, it is different. And also, I suppose we have to work harder at it because it's easier now to separate than it used to be. Therefore, you know, we have to put a bit more effort in to make sure that it's worthwhile and long-lasting and enduring.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a unique thing too with social media in many cases, in that, you know, you may often know the person, not personally, but say through Facebook or something beforehand. And then after the fact too, you know, whereas in the old days, part ways and away you go, that, you know, you can still know where everyone's at. I don't know how healthy that would be.
Well, I think it's particularly unhealthy when relationships break up, when one person continues to follow the other person's social media platform. And that's really dangerous because it means that, you know, the letting go doesn't really begin and the feeling of rejection can go on and on. And that, I suppose, can be quite obsessive as well for some people. So we need to be very careful about these things.
Because we can't presume that both people will be able to handle it the same. And normally it's one instigates it, not the other. And
yeah,
it just can be really complex and really difficult too, because, you know, there can be a bit of, you know, not wanting to seem bitter in unfriending someone as well. There's a bit of pressure there in that regard, I'd imagine.
Well, I mean, that's true. And also, of course, we want to present ourselves in the best light. So we may often put up stuff on social media that makes us look fantastic, even though we could be dying inside.
Sure.
So, you know, there's lots and lots of possibilities. But also in the dating aspect of it, people do lie a little bit online. And often then when they actually meet in person, they can be a bit of disappointment because the other person is, you know, is actually smaller than they said, or larger than they said, or 10 years older than their photograph. And I think, you know, that's not a good idea, because you don't want disappointment to be the first experience of a future, you know, possible mate in your life. So I think we should be a bit more honest, and then people would trust it more and we might have more success with it.
We'll talk about how to stay in a relationship, but do you think we're too quick now to go into a relationship, perhaps not as selective as anymore? And I will again point to the likes of, you know, dating apps or social media, in that, you know, it's just a different way of hooking up.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think people are that quick to get into relationships, actually. I think they're probably reluctant because they feel there's so many people to choose from. And I think, you know, as always, some people want relationships more than another. So let's say you meet somebody online and on the profile they say they're not really interested in a relationship. You know, they want to have a bit of fun. And then you think, oh, well, I can change their mind about that. I think we need to be really careful, you know, that we've got to believe what people are saying and not subject ourselves to huge disappointment, say, 3 months in or something like that, when we discover that it's not a relationship, that it's just, you know, sort of casual dating. So I think we need to be very careful. But also, I think the same is true as always has been true. We are wired for them. We're wired for relationships. And I think it's you know, a desire in us for romance and connection, and that hasn't died. But I think we're probably a bit more critical and we're looking for the perfect person. So we might let people go that actually we could have a fantastic time with.
Yeah, and one of the questions that you pose and answer in your book is, how do we find enduring love? And is that something that you address once you're in a relationship with someone? Or
actually, I think it's probably something you use all the time. You know, we have long-term friendships, and it's not enormously different. Obviously, the attraction and the lust piece is different. But the same things that work in friendships tend to work in enduring love. You know, we need to be loyal to that person. We need to put them first. We need to spend a lot of time with them because we need to enjoy them. We need to be very kind, because if you're not, it's hard to make something last. And it has to be fair, you know. So if we have a friendship where one person never, ever calls us, it's unlikely that friendship will last. And it's the same in enduring love. You know, there has to be a fairness in it. So if I give up my job for you and go to Australia, at some point it seems fair that you might, you know, make a big gesture to me. Mm. And it doesn't have to be immediate. But we need to have that sense of fairness in it to make it work and to make it last a long time.
All too often people, you know, perhaps see a relationship deteriorate. And I think you also talked to the fact that, you know, if there's early intervention there and it's not too late, that things can be fixed before it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, of course I would say that. I am a psychotherapist. but I think it's true. I think there's so much unnecessary suffering. I think that a lot of relationships suffer because one or both people have no great self-awareness. They don't understand that they're dealing with their own kind of family backgrounds and, you know, history of how they deal with things. And that's a problem, because then you try to figure all of that out in your new relationship, and it's not geared for that. So I think if we had a bit of self-awareness, if we knew the kind of general pitfalls that people get into, we could save ourselves a lot of trouble, and we might end up with something, you know, long-term and worthwhile.
When people come out of, say, one relationship and into another, they often perhaps try and draw a complete line and start brand new, as if, you know, nothing had ever happened. But perhaps should we be learning from previous relationships to not make the same mistakes again, and yeah, perhaps to not treat people the same way again? It's not always someone else's fault.
I know. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Have you ever tried to give up something, you know, like, I don't know, smoking or chocolate?
Yeah.
I think giving up our behavior mechanisms and our patterns is equally difficult. I think we have to be super conscious of it and give ourselves a lot of reward for doing it. But if we do that, we can get there. But it is hard. Mm. It's hard not to repeat the same stuff, you know. You know, we all know friends who've ended up in similar relationships and similar trouble, and we're going, well, you know, the writing's on the wall. Could you not?
So it is, and people being drawn to the same type of relationships, even if they can be destructive.
Yeah, now that's very difficult as well, because I think we're programmed to desire the same, you know, a particular type. Maybe it's our DNA, or maybe it's just, you know, habit. It's hard to change that, and I think that would require a lot of effort. So, okay, for example, if you're a woman and you're always attracted to the bad boy, you're always going to find them attractive, and yet you know it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, but you find the good boy boring.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's going to take effort. Nobody's boring.
No, I'm not. I'm just throwing that out there, you know.
Yeah, but it's true. So, but if you want a kind of a stable long-term relationship, then you have to put a lot of effort into finding that attractive. Mm. And you can't really blame that other person then for not being, you know, the kind of rebel type, when actually you chose them because they were, you know, solid. And I think that's difficult, because we're really looking for everything to be in one person, and that's pretty much an impossibility.
Well, the book is out there. It's not huge, but it's full of really good information, right from, I suppose, yourself into romantic relationships, and then the online influence of it, modern things like, you know, porn and relationships, and the online influence and other aspects. It's a very interesting piece of work. Trish, where can people get their hands on it?
I think it's in most Irish bookstores, so it's pretty easy to get, and I'd love if people would read it and comment.
Okay.
That would be great.
It's hashtag love, and that's the actual hashtag, not the word hashtag. 21st Century Relationships by Trish Murphy. Trish, thank you so much for coming on the programme. I wish we had more time, but it's a great insight you gave us nonetheless. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Greg.